From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello, listener. How are you? I'm Stefanus. Will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news. So stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo meets microbusiness owners in North Sumatra. Indonesia uses persuasive approach to free the New Zealand pilot. And here's the news in detail, read by Steve. President Joko Widodo met women running microbusinesses in Batubara district during his working visit to North Sumatra on Wednesday. During the meeting, he motivated them, whom are beneficiaries from the Prosperous Families Economy or the Mekar funding program, and urged them to maintain discipline, spirit, and tenacity. The president, who once ran a furniture business, recalled how he had founded his enterprise in Solo, Central Java, back in 1988. He also noted that he managed to grow his business and open branches in Jakarta and the surrounding 3 years after starting his business. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi shared a discussion via telephone with her New Zealand counterpart Winston Peters. Spokesperson for the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs Lalu Muhammad Iqbal in statement received in Jakarta Wednesday pointed out that apart from discussing bilateral cooperation relations between Indonesia and New Zealand, the discussion of both ministers also discussed New Zealand citizen Captain Philip Mark Mathens, who is being taken hostage by armed separatist criminal group in Papua. Lalu Muhammad Iqbal also explained that, in the discussion, Minister Retno said, Indonesian government is carrying out hard efforts to free the Susi Air pilot by using a persuasive approach. Besides, according to Iqbal, Minister Retno also guaranteed Indonesian government to the New Zealand embassy in Jakarta to obtain consular access.
Hari ini Ibu Menlu melakukan pembicaraan per telepon dengan Menlu.
Today, the Minister of Foreign Affairs had a discussion via telephone with the New Zealand Minister of Foreign Affairs. In this discussion, apart from discussing bilateral aspects of Indonesia-New Zealand relations, the Ministers of Foreign Affairs also discussed the issue of releasing Captain Philip hostage. In this discussion, the Foreign Minister stated that the Indonesian government continues to make efforts to release Captain Phillips by prioritizing persuasive aspects and approaches and at the same time providing guarantees for the New Zealand Embassy in Jakarta to obtain consular access. Moreover, Captain Philip Mark Mertens is a New Zealand pilot for the Susi Air Airlines. He has been taken hostage by the separatists led by Egyanus Kokoya since February 7, 2023, shortly after his plane landed at Paro Airfield in Duga District, Papua Mountains. Previously, the New Zealand ambassador to Indonesia, Kevin Jeffrey Burnett, has also met the commander of the Joint Regional Defence Command 3, Lieutenant General Richard Tampo Bolon, and Papua Regional Police Chief Inspector General Matthias T. Fakiri on Tuesday. The meeting was held to discuss the process of releasing Captain Phillips hostage. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati believed that Indonesia's economy will remain strong with a growth rate of 5.2% in 2024. Based on global dynamics and domestic economic potential, Indonesia's economy is estimated to grow strongly in 2024, amounting to 5.2%. In her statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, as reported by Antara, she said that in the January edition of the World Economic Outlook, the International Monetary Fund, or IMF, estimated global economic growth of 3.1% in 2023 and 2024. Minister Indrawati also said that domestic inflation is expected to be relatively stable due to 2024 general elections' impact on public and government spending. Housing sector policies started in the fourth quarter of 2023 will be one of the driving forces in 2024. Kodi, the Minister of Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan stated that the 2023 F1 Powerboat Lake Toba event had an economic impact of $106 million and successfully brought 100,000 tourists. The international events helped to introduce new tourism destinations to tourists. This was stated by the coordinating minister Luhut Binsar at the Lake Toba F1 powerboat press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also admitted to having never envisaged that the F1 powerboat event could be held at Lake Toba. According to Minister Panjaitan, the event is important for local residents since it is an ongoing event. As Sudan is about to enter the 10th month of conflict, United Nations agencies launched a $4.1 billion appeal Tuesday to provide urgent aid for 14.7 million people inside Sudan and 2.7 million people who have taken refuge in five neighboring countries. As reported by VOA.com, the United Nations launch in Geneva got off to a poignant start with a video of Sudanese victims who recounted the terrible impact the war has had on their lives. Mina, a young Sudanese refugee in Egypt, said the war has robbed her and other children of their education. Martin Griffiths, UN's Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, stated that the UN officials at conference agreed that Sudan's conflict has fueled suffering of epic proportions. This crisis has been forgotten by the international community because of the competing crises in Gaza, Ukraine, and elsewhere. The Saudi Minister of Commerce, Majid Al-Kasabi, is leading the preparations for the upcoming Saudi-British Strategic Partnership Council meetings in London. As reported by ArabNews.com, the preparatory sessions included discussions about cooperative initiatives in various sectors, including trade, investment, education, healthcare, energy, industry, culture, and sports. The Saudi press agency reported on Wednesday, Al-Kasabi and the Saudi ambassador to the UK, Prince Khalid bin Bandar, held talks with several British officials, including Deputy Prime Minister Oliver Dowden, Secretary of State for Business and Trade Kemi Badenoch, Investment Minister Dominic Johnson, and the advisor to the British Prime Minister for Business and Investment, Frank Pettigas. The government is set to increase the pool of mental health professionals in the public sector and upskill more frontline staff and volunteers by 2030 to support people with mental health needs. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, Senior Minister of State for Health General Puccieri on Wednesday pointed out the Ministry of Health will be expanding the hospital and long-term care as a safety net to meet the care needs of people with severe and chronic mental health conditions. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights Indonesia, Turkey agree on geothermal energy cooperation. Pertamina Geothermal Energy signed a confidentiality agreement memorandum with the Turkish energy company Kipas Holding last Saturday. Both energy companies have agreed to start cooperation in the energy sector in the geothermal sector. The signing of the agreement was carried out by Julfi Hadi as President Director of PGE and Mehmet Sisman from GM Kipas Holding. Witnessed by Indonesian ambassadors to Turkey Ahmad Rizal Purnama in Istanbul, the Indonesian embassy in Ankara has facilitated PGE's efforts to seek potential cooperation in geothermal exploration and operation with several energy companies in Turkey. Various meetings have been held to find the right potential partners. In the previous initial meeting, PGE and Kipas Holding were interested in carrying out exploration cooperation in Turkey and Indonesia, and even open up the possibility of joint investment in third countries. Apart from Kipas Holding, Ambassador Rizal also facilitated PGE to meet with several other energy companies. According to PGE President Director Julfi Hadi, in Turkey, PGE also met with several top energy companies. He hopes that in the near future, he can find one or two more potential partners for investment in Turkey. The main factor that Pertamina Geothermal Energy is considering collaborating with Turkey is that the country has large geothermal energy potential. As the fourth country with the largest geothermal potential in the world, Turkey is also attractive to investors because it had a feed-in tariff policy. This is the good faith of the Turkish government to assure investors in the geothermal energy sector of long-term regulatory certainty and competitive price incentives. And that's Diplomatic Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on 8 February 1942, the city of Banjarmasin was burned down. After the Dutch colonized Indonesia, including the city of Banjarmasin in South Kalimantan, Indonesia was colonized by Japan. Japan entered from East Kalimantan into the South Kalimantan region on 6 February 1942 in Bongkang. On February 8, three Dutch ships entered Banjarmasin to evacuate the Dutch people to Java Island. When the last ship departed from Banjarmasin, the destroyer troops assigned to carry out the Scorched Earth policy, Allgemeine Vereniging Korps AVC, turned Banjarmasin to a sea of fire because of dynamite explosions. The aim of burning down the city of Banjarmasin was to not let buildings and facilities built by Dutch colonialists be exploited by the Japanese colonialists. Let's move on to February 8, 1993, Iran Air Tours flight 962 crash. On 8 February 1993, Iran Air Tours flight 962, a toppled Tu-154M, collided in mid-air with the Islamic Republic of Iran's Air Force's Sukhoi Su-24 plane near the capital of Iran, Tehran. This accident killed around 133 people on board of the two planes. The result of the investigation determined that the pilot of flight 962 followed the air traffic controller's instructions correctly. The Iranian Civil Aviation Authority concluded the cause of the collisions was an error made by the Sukhoi Su-24 military pilot and an error by the air traffic controller. ¶¶ end today in history with an event that occurred on February 8, 2010, a cyclone in the Hindu Kush Mountains in Afghanistan. On February 8, 2010, a cyclone happened in the Hindu Kush Mountains, Afghanistan. The impact of the storm, 36 avalanches buried more than 2 miles of highway and killed around 172 people. In addition, it caused more than 2,000 tourists to be trapped in the Salang Tunnel, North Kabul. The Salang Tunnel is the main route from the Afghan capital, Kabul, to the city of Mazar-e-Sharif in the north. The Hindu Kush Mountains lie between the Amu Darya River to the north and the Indus River to the south. To the east, the Hindu Kush borders the Pamir Mountains near the meeting point of China, Pakistan, and Afghanistan borders. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Sebentar selama ini kau.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on National Waste Day 2024 to fight plastic waste productively. Indonesia commemorates National Waste Day every 21st February. This year, the day was themed Fight Plastic Waste Productively. The theme came from the ongoing plastic waste issue in national and international level. United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP, stated that plastic waste into aquatic ecosystem could triple in 2040 if nothing is done to prevent it. The total plastic waste was around 9 until 14 million tons in 2016 and potentially will turn into 23 until 27 million tons by 2040. The plastic pollution threat will be a global concern with the agreed United Nations Environment Assembly Resolutions number 5, year 2014. The resolution gave a mandate to UNEP Executive Director to carry out the Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee to arrange the international legally binding instrument for plastic waste pollution included in the ocean environment. Environment and Forestry Ministry's Director for Waste Management, Rosa Vivin Ratnawati, when giving a statement on Tuesday, said, "The National Waste Day 2024 is a momentum to strengthen Indonesian government's position in the international legally binding instrument on plastic pollution and the preparation in implementing the commitment of zero waste, zero emission 2025. Besides, the National Waste Day 2024 also aimed to encourage the role of all, either the regional government, producer, and the people in supporting the achievement of national target in greenhouse gas emission reduction in the waste sector. The main and peak event of the National Waste Day is organized directly by the Environment and Forestry Ministry, collaborating with other stakeholders in various locations, while supporting events are held independently in February and March 2024 by the government, institution, regional government, producer, and other businesses, non-governmental organization, community association, higher education, and students. The ministry also has issued a guidance for the event with the Environment and Forestry Ministry's circular on National Waste Day 2024. The National Waste Day 2024 commemoration is spread across various locations with different ways. Besides the peak of National Waste Day 2024 and some main events, exhibitions, dialogue and talk show in Jakarta and around, some national clean-up and tree planting are held across the country, as well as the Zero Waste Adventure Camp at Mount Merbabu National Park. Moreover, somehow about the general election in 2024, the Environment and Forestry Ministry asked all to handle the waste coming from campaign materials such as posters, banners, flags, bamboo poles, and many others via the Environment and Forestry Ministry Circular No. 3, Year 2024, on Management of Waste from General Election 2024. Back about the National Waste Day 2024, the commemoration would be ended with the announcement of the winner and awarding of National Waste Day 2024 Creative Content Competition in the fourth week of March 2024 at Manggala Wanabakti Building in Jakarta. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia today.
Sampai saat ini tak terfikir olehku Seandainya sejak awal tak ku yakinkan diriku, tutur kata yang sempurna tak sebaik yang ku kira. Andai ku tahu semua akan sia-sia, takkan ku terima cinta sesaatmu. Bagaimana dengan aku terlanjur mencintaimu, yang datang beri harapan lalu pergi dan menghilang tak terfikirkan olehmu. Hatiku hancur karenamu tanpa sedikit alasan, pergi tanpa sebaik yang ku kira. Andai ku tahu semua akan sia-sia, takkan ku terima cinta sesaatmu.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
If you take a culinary tour to Papua, you can not only enjoy the sago based dish of papeda. There is a culinary dish called swamening that you should also try. Swamening or gedi gulung is a typical food of Grime Valley community in Nimboran District, Jayapura Regency. This dish is usually served during local traditional ceremonies and is cooked on clay pottery. Swamening is made from Saccharum edul sugarcane, gedi leaves or edible hibiscus, coconut and sago. To cook it, gedi leaves are arranged alternately on a flat surface, then sago is sprinkled on top of the leaves, then coconut is added as needed. Peel the shakarum and dulled sugar cane, then arrange evenly, rolled up slowly, and tied with strings taken from its peel. The roll is then boiled in mixtures of water and spices such as tomatoes, pepper, salt, and lemongrass until it boils. Once cooked, swamining is usually eaten with a chili sauce. Swamining is the main course that can be eaten directly or with other proteins such as fish. Swamining is classified as a healthy food because it is rich in fiber and uses lots of vegetables. Besides that, sago is also good for digestions. Swamining also doesn't use any oil at all, so it's healthy for daily meals. In the Grime Valley, as a flavoring, people often use seawater or salt made by themselves from sago trees that are cut off the bottom.
Perjalanan membawamu bertemu denganku, ku bertemu kamu. Sepertimu yang ku cari, konon aku juga seperti yang kau cari. Ku kira kita asam dan garam, dan kita bertemu di belanga. Kisah yang ternyata tak seindah itu. Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kasih sayangmu membekas, redam kini sudah, pijar istimewa. Entah apa maksud dunia tentang ujung cerita kita tak bersama. Semoga rindu ini menghilang, konon katanya waktu sembuhkan. Akan adakah lagi yang sepertimu? Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kalau aku jadi kita. Kau melanjutkan perjalananmu, ku melanjutkan perjalanan. Kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kukira kita akan bersama. hati-hati di jalan.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Dear listeners, today's edition of Miscellany comes with the title Warung Rojali by the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy. Listeners, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy is proud to present Warung Rojali, located on the second floor of the Sabta Pesona Building lobby in Jakarta, along with live shopping as a series of activities to increase promotion and sales of creative product. Warung Rojali will be available with a new design throughout January to November 2024. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy also facilitates the marketing of translated local brand at Warung Rojali. Warung Rojali will display two products each from 10 creative brands which have been curated from recommendation from actors assisted by the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy. This is the first batch of a total of 5 batches at Warung Rojali. Later, every 2 months, there will be a new batch containing 10 new local brands that will be promoted at Warung Rojali. So in the future, there will be dozens of local brands promoted at Warung Rojali. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno invites the entire community to support the struggle of local business actors by buying and using domestic products. Meanwhile, Deputy for Marketing at the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy Niimade Ayumartini explained that the ministry had received testimonials from various colleagues that the atmosphere and lobby of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy office is similar to a hotel lobby. According to her, in the hotel lobby there is usually a display case for sales. So the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy wants to give the public the experience of not only seeing, but also buying at Warung Rojali. The first batch of Warung Rojali will facilitate 10 brands in the fashion, craft, and culinary categories. They are Merapi Mountain, Timurasa, Medina Sportwear, Imanggo Ethnic, Ganesha Sora, Haluan Bali, Ebony Watch, Ladang Lima, Nana Baby Carrier, and Four Duren. Listeners, that was Miscellany for today. Bye-bye.
Barang kita suatu hari nanti. kau dipanggil ibu sementara aku ayah. Bertukar cerita hingga lelap mata, lalu datang pagi kau memasak, ku bekerja.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today I'm going to give you a song from Mayang Sari. Agustina Mayang Sari or Mayang Sari was a singer in 1990s. Her father was a shadow puppet master, while her mother was a sinden, or female singer of Javanese traditional music. Mayang Sari was known for her ability to sing Javanese songs, but her fame soared when she sang pop and love songs. One of Mayang Sari's greatest pop hits was Tiada Lagi or No More. The song Tiada Lagi was released in 1998 and is about some failures in love. Well, one listener here is Mayang Sari with Tiada Lagi.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Kecewa di dalam dada, seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu, walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Kecewa di dalam dada, seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu, walau masih ada
sampai di sini. Tiada lagi yang ku harapkan, tiada lagi yang ku impikan. Biar aku sendiri tanpa dirimu.
Jangan jangan aku takut.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.